All right, Father, we want to thank you, Lord. We thank you for the word that you have given to John here. Lord, we know that you have blessed him with a word to share with us, Lord God. And we pray that that right now that anointing would fall upon him, Lord God, that he would know that he is speaking as he is led by your Holy Spirit, and that our spirits within us would receive this word and use it to grow and just to be instructed and to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for this word. We thank you for John. Just bless this time this morning in Jesus' name. Amen, Father.
Amen. Well, I want to welcome everybody and everybody online. Welcome to Downriver Christian Community Church. Today, let me back up a little bit here. Several weeks ago, Pastor John had spoke to us about the schemes of the devil. And while we know the devil has his schemes, we also have ours, right? And that's something I want to talk about today, what our schemes are and what they are and where they come from and what we need to look out for. Schemes are not necessarily sin, but they are traits, character traits, that can lead us to sin. Amen? Schemes are little like fault lines waiting to fail. And given the right conditions and circumstances, they will. So why do we have schemes and where do they come from? Well, really, all we need to do is go back to the Garden of Eden. And the devil only had one scheme. And that scheme was to separate man from God. And you could say the rest was history from there. But how did he do it? He did it through misdirection. You know, that's the main tactic that the devil uses. He wants to take everything that is a lie and tell you that it's true. He wants you to believe the lies that are being spread out, that man is spreading out across this earth, across the world. And he wants us to grab onto those things and make them our beliefs. So once he convinced Adam and Eve to eat the forbidden fruit, schemes became part of our lives. Without God, we only have ourselves to guide us. You only need to look at our past and present to see how that's worked. Everything is all askew in different ways in the earth today. Everything has become okay. There's nothing now that needs to be monitored. And I'm going to just talk about that here in a minute. But through sin, Adam and Eve, through the sins of Adam and Eve, every person has struggled with temptation, and that's what's led us to the schemes in us today. Here's a funny example I have of temptation. A woman went shopping for a dress, and she bought the dress, and she knew she couldn't afford it. When she came home, the husband said, "Why did you do it?" She said, "I didn't want to, but the devil made me, he tempted me and made me do it." And he said, "Well, then why didn't you tell him, get thee behind me, Satan?" She said, "I did. But then he come up and whispered to my ear, 'My dear, the dress looks beautiful in the back.'" So you see, it's very simple. And if we look at 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind." And what that scripture shows us is that Satan does not need to be involved in every temptation. You know, when sin was given to us through Adam and Eve, we're fallen nature. So now everything that we do through temptation leads us to a scheme so that we can get what we want. Amen. There's different things and there's different ways that the devil works through us. But, you know, like the wife, many of us want to blame Satan, and some of us God, for our failings. The truth is that's because we don't want to take responsibility. We think if we can put it off and blame somebody else, it's not our problem. But the problem is that when we do things in our lives, it is our choice. It is our direction. And it's something that we did, and we can't put it off. We can't blame our brothers and sisters. We can't blame, well, they did this, so I should be able to do this. We got to get beyond those schemes and get rid of them out of our life. You know, between God and Satan, the world prefers Satan. They want to do away with God. And why is that? Because if they can negate God, there would be no one to condemn them. There would be no definition of what is sin and what is not sin. God is the one who created sin. And he's created the law because we couldn't control ourselves. So he gave us the commandments to give us some kind of guidance. But it wasn't the true guidance that we needed, but it was something that we had to have to give us some kind of structure. Because really, the true guidance came from love. And we'll talk about that here shortly. So, if they can negate sin, and by the way, Galatians 5, 19 through 21 is a perfect example. When you go through these, look at them as schemes in your life as well. And sometimes you can go to this scripture, even though it doesn't give you all of them, because you can use this scripture at times to kind of give you something to reflect on, to say, is that part of me? Is that part of me? And maybe we can work on those things. But in Galatians 5, 19 through 21, it says, the acts of the flesh, or I put in there our schemes, are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So when you look at this and those are God's rules, those are the regulations. Do we want to give up our salvation for the things that we enjoy here on earth? Do we want to give up eternity to satisfy flesh in this short period of time? When it comes to schemes, we can have schemes that we knowingly live by or unknowingly live with. And, you know, when you were giving that demonstration earlier, I was thinking, I had this visual in my mind where God says, walk with me. And I said, sure, Lord. And he said, John, what, Lord? Walk with me. Sure. John. Oh, sure, Lord. we want to do things our way so many times. And that's a scheme that runs through our lives at times. We want to take control. We want to have control. And we don't want to relinquish it to anything or anybody else. So it's a very, very difficult thing. I had an incident myself that actually I had to come to realize years after, but when I was in the service, I had a friend who we spoke regularly on a regular basis. I wouldn't say he was a close friend, but something happened, and I don't even know what happened, to be honest with you. But all of a sudden, one day, he just stopped talking to me. He started ignoring me, and this went on for a while. And one day, he was going down the aisle, and I was coming the other way. And when I got next to him, this rage came up into me. And it was a blinding rage, because it was almost like I felt like I was going to pass out. And it was weird because I'd never had that kind of feeling before in my life. But obviously, it was a scheme that was in me that I could not accept rejection. And as I was going along until that moment, and then later I noticed that there are times in my life when I had not that angry or whatever. I think that was demonic at that point. But I've been angry about certain things in my life that happened. And I can relate them back to this scheme of rejection. The scheme that God, that the Satan had put in me that made me have this anger that I don't deserve this, so why is it happening to me? And I believe that we all have some bits of that. You know, somebody not accepting who you are creates a defensive scheme in you sometimes that you do not want to get too close to people. So serving God and loving them becomes very difficult because you don't trust. And you can have that, and I'm going to get into that a little bit more. See, we all have developed schemes based on our experiences and history, right? What are some of the major influences? Well, family, by far, is probably going to be one of the most. I mean, depending on how you're raised, and by the way, what is the world scheme right now? The world scheme is they want to do away with the nuclear family. They want to make the family whatever it is. If you want to marry a dog, then you become the family with whatever child you adopt. Whatever. So, I mean, I truly believe it's getting that crazy. That they will decide what it is that is going to be the family. God's not going to decide that. But let's say that you came from a poor family. So the dynamics of coming from a poor family and a wealthy family are pretty significant. But because you come from a wealthy family doesn't mean you can't have insecurities. And because you come from a poor family doesn't mean you have to be insecure in that situation either. I mean, you know, we all have different things that we have to deal with. And insecurity and the need for recognition and attention. You know, if you look at us from an individual, from people, you know, we think that we walk around and we hide all of these things. But I'm going to tell you something. Your scheme shows, even though you don't think it does. I mean, we know, I mean, you can probably talk, look, or say something about somebody because you recognize something that's coming out of them based on the way they act, the things they do. So even though you may try to hide your schemes, those schemes will show themselves. And some people know you better than some, you know, think you know yourself, I think. And that's just something that we need to be aware of. So insecurity, I mentioned that, a low self-esteem. You know, low self-esteem, if you come from a poor family like I did, low self-esteem was something that I carried with me for a long time. You know, everybody that I knew got all new clothes and got everything brand new. I had to deal with what I was given and what I could get. So it can create a scheme in your life where you think and you may be jealous. Maybe it brings up jealousy because you can't get what you want. You have this jealous factor that runs through you. You have all of these different aspects of, you know, insecurities and that need for recognition. You know, I need to be recognized because that gives me worth. You know, you look for things that will validate you. And so in my life, God validated me. I didn't need all of that recognition anymore as much as I needed the recognition that God said that who he was to me. Amen. All that anger that was in me because I didn't have or couldn't get was a scheme that was in my life. You know, the another one is being disrespected. That's a big one. You know, Jesus didn't look for respect. If you follow Jesus' path, he was there for us. He didn't need anybody, the leaders, Jewish leadership or anybody, to tell him who he was. So if somebody disrespected him, he really understood exactly where that was coming from. They just did not understand the truth. And sometimes when we think we hold a position and we think that we should not be disrespected, you know, that when you get angry about those kinds of things, anger to me is just a position of pride. It means that somebody's doing something to you you don't like and you think that you should be able to retaliate. You know? And we're here to save souls. Hopefully we are strong and mature enough in our own walk with God that we don't need to worry about whether or not somebody likes us anymore. We don't need to, because I'll tell you what, as a pastor, I pray for blessings over them all the time, because you know what? Somebody always has an opinion about how things should be done. You know? And if you're sitting in that position, and I've even had people talk about me online, an individual, but that, I'm not going to get into that. But all I can do is pray. Because you know what? That scheme that was in my life to defend myself, to not worry about, is no longer, I won't say it's not there, but it's not as strong. If it hits me, I change it over to understanding that they just don't know enough about Christ yet. Amen. So it doesn't become a thing that I'm looking for evil to hit them because they don't talk about me the right way. I'm looking for God to bless them with the truth, so that they can love me, even though they don't like me. Amen? And so, those are some of the things that we need to work on. You know, parents, are you too strict and controlling, or do you think your parents were too strict and controlling? Or maybe they were too lenient, and that's the way you're the way you are? Okay? Were they abusive? Which makes sometimes some of us abusive. Friends, by agreeing with and participating with our friends, we actually can get wrapped up into their addictions if they're drug addicts. You know, we associate with people and sometimes we pick up on their schemes and they become part of our lives. Destructive behavior. You know, something about people that you trust and know. You know, if you don't have the knowledge of Christ in your life, anything that somebody talks to you about that you trust and you think that they're more knowledgeable than you, then you accept everything that they say as fact, or you can. So it's important that we know what's right. So when somebody teaches us something that's wrong, we can differentiate what the truth is. So for all of you, when you read the Word of God, you should be in it on a regular basis so that you understand God's nature and His purpose for us. Because if somebody else that's intelligent comes up to you, you have no response. All you can say, well, you know, that sounds good. Maybe I'll follow that. And what you end up doing is you're following false schemes. You're following the devil telling you that the lie is now true. And there's no way for you to differentiate it until you really get in the Word and study. One of the big things that I think is out there that creates schemes in us is the world influences through media and TV. It's crazy how many options and opinions have immediate access to you and your children. If those iPads, I could almost take all the iPads in the world and throw them away when they're around my grandkids. I mean, it has become, all of my grandkids are going to be walking around like this someday. You know? Their faces are on those screens being entertained without having to use their brain at all. And it's just, it's scary to me what's going to happen. But the other thing, too, is access to pornography at any age is so prevalent, and it's free at the click of a button. So if you don't think that there's going to be a greater scheme of lust in the world, I mean, it's there for us to entertain ourselves with. And Facebook and gaming, you know, kids are building bonds with other kids all over the world through gaming. And, you know, if they have a attitude about certain things, it's very easy for you to get wrapped up into all of the conversation that goes on in between the gaming. So why is it important that we understand and address our schemes? Because schemes equal weakness. It indicates weakness in our character, and it gives Satan more opportunity to achieve his original plan, separating us from God. You know, he did the initial, but we have the choice to either follow that initial plan and become, you know, just wrapped up in our own human nature, or we have the choice to become wrapped up in the spiritual nature. And I'll say that, you know, there may be, going back to that other statement, there may be people that are more intelligent than me in the world things, but I hope that I'm more intelligent than them in the spiritual things. That I have the faith that it takes to believe in everything that God has told me in his word. You know, the Bible is not just a story. It is historical. It's a history book before history books were pretty much written. So to negate the Bible is to negate a whole history of mankind. But people want to do that. They want to say it was written by men. Well, every history book is written by men. Every religious writing is written by man. The difference is that we have a history that has been prophesied in old books that actually came true in the newer ones, thousands of years later. So we need to really understand how structured that Bible is and how true it is and why we believe it. And there's also something else. I mean, I don't think that I would believe in just the Bible if it weren't for the fact that the Holy Spirit educated me and I was able to listen to and hear the truth and discern between what the world wants me to believe and what the Bible says is true. If it weren't for that Holy Spirit, weren't for the Holy Spirit in my life, I would not know. I would not have this urge to understand more. And that's what the Spirit of God has done. So, as Christians, we need to work on continually strengthening our character. You know, we can't be the same person we were before we were saved and keep doing the same things after we're saved and expect better results. You know, we want to see the world. We want to see miracles. We want to see all of this stuff. Well, I have a feeling that many of us are more middle of the road than we want to be. You know, I think that there is a strength and faith that God is looking. But at times, and I'm not saying, you know, God works in his own timing. So there was hundreds of years when God wasn't working with man. But there was, once he did, I mean, you know, it was proven again that he was still viable and there with us. So I think that it's important that we continually to work on our character and our integrity. You know, integrity is something that we do when nobody's looking. It's doing the right thing when the wrong opportunity is presented to us. It's saying to yourself, I don't care that nobody's looking. I'm not doing that. And so those are things that we always need to work on. You know, think about the word integrity when we make a choice to do something. You know, somebody lost their wallet. Do I pick it up and find them, or do I take the money and throw it in the garbage? Those types of things, you know. The devil will always manipulate you through your weakest point. Your flesh, your mind, and your emotions. And emotions are his strongest thing. If you follow people who are very emotional, their walk with the Lord tends to be like this. Their highs, they're all about the Lord, and their lows, he doesn't care about me anymore. They're high and they're low. And we all have emotions. But again, that's when the truth changes the emotion, that the emotion doesn't have as much impact on us when we really know the truth about the Bible and what the Word says, and in our, we have faith that God is for us and not against us. You know, we will all have trials in this world. The trials are not supposed to define our walk. As a matter of fact, they should strengthen our walk. It's the trial that makes a difference when we walk through the trial and we have victory. And we are overcomers at that point. And that's what this whole thing is about, overcoming the schemes in our lives. You know, and actually digging them out, finding them. Because, like I said, some of them we walk with unknowingly. And sometimes we just need to examine. Scripture says to examine yourself. And that's something we need to do. So, there is only one way to end weaknesses in our character. Is that the desire to stop has to be greater than the desire to continue. You will never stop a scheme if you have a greater desire to keep it than to get rid of it. That's like addiction. You know, addiction is a very difficult thing, and addiction comes in all different forms. It doesn't just come in drugs, it comes in all different forms. If you have an addiction that is stronger than your desire to quit, you will never get rid of it. And I know that people, you know, they pray for it and they look for God to deliver them, and sometimes God just says, "This is on you. You know, you need to deal with this." Because when you make that choice, he is teaching you that you're choosing the right thing in him over what is destroying your life. Amen. So what hope do we have against all these schemes in our lives? The answer to this is so simple, I almost hate to go through it, but I will anyway. Jesus. Accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, repenting of our sins, then the Holy Spirit can give you the means and the power to overcome. Yeah. Amen? Amen? That's where your power comes from. The other thing is love. Love is probably the most powerful motivator that is in our arsenal. That's why Scripture has indicated that of all things, love is the greatest. And it's very difficult and to actually choose to love somebody that is your enemy or that you don't like. You don't like their personality, you don't like the way they act, or whatever it is. You know, it's very difficult. But the fact is that through love, you've got to remember, God loves them too. Even though you aren't part of, you don't like them and you don't particularly care for them, God loves them. And the way I always try to perceive others that don't mix well with my personality is that they are loved by God, so therefore I need to learn to care about them. Otherwise, we won't go out and save the lost. We won't talk to the people that we need to talk to. Amen? So, by the Holy Spirit, also, you also come to understand the purity of God's love. You know, we want to compare God's love to the love that we give ourselves and or receive here on earth. I mean, we can't compare what we can do to the purity of God's love that sent Jesus Christ to the cross. I don't know how many here would walk that walk, but sacrifice is something that we need to do. Amen. If you want to receive blessing, you will receive them as you begin giving them freely. So we need to bless each other. We need to let God's love into your heart and let yourself be loved. You know, some of us are so difficult, so hard on ourselves, that we don't even give God the opportunity to love us. We just accuse him of not being able to love us because we're so bad. But the truth is that God loves you with a purity that you can't understand. And the things that we deal with in life, or the struggles that we go through, are common to man. They are not something that God is punishing us for. It's just, you can walk through all of life and you can struggle because we are a fallen nature. Amen. Let love be your first gift. Let it be something you walk with regularly. Allow it to, love allows healing from offenses quicker. And what I'm saying here is that love takes away your schemes. Love takes away all of the things that you have in your life, those that you know and don't know. Because through love, you will not be able to act on those things that Satan has put in us through the fallen nature of man. That he has given us the opportunity of the fallen nature of man has set so many things up in our lives that we need to realize that we can defeat those through love. Love leads to peace in trials and in life. And I'm going to end with this. Love leads to maturity. A mature nature comes full of love without expecting anything. You look at a mother who oversees her child, and if you're talking about a good mom, they will do anything for their children. And I think that we need to know that God will do anything for us. Even though we may not feel it, see it now, but the truth is you've been given the gift of everlasting life, and you need to be thankful for that. And then all the other blessings come as we give blessings to others, as I mentioned earlier. Amen? Amen. Thank you. Have the prayer team come forward.